Hello, Margot Kingston here for the No Fibs Independence Day podcast. One of the most interesting races in Australia is the race for the second seat in the ACT Senate vote. There's always only two senators picked, and it's always one Liberal and one Labor. The left has tried very hard over a long time to win that second seat, but they can't. So what's happened this time is another approach has been taken. The Liberal senator is the hard right's Zed Seselja. The party has split in the ACT, and a former president of the party is now backing a small L Liberal independent, Anthony Pezek. So hello, Anthony. How are you?
Good, Margot. Pleasure to talk to you again.
Anthony, have you managed to get traction in the campaign? And if so, tell me what's done it for you.
We really have in recent weeks. I think the first catalyst was the formalisation of the candidates. So as with every election, there's many people that have intentions to run, but at the last minute don't get the signatures in or other formalities. So the media, even though we had announced back in February that I was going to run, I don't think the media really, they were being cautious about, well, not just me, but other candidates as well that showed intentions to run and, you know, not really getting out of their way to give us too much airtime. But since the formalisation of candidacies has been announced by the AEC, the media have taken a bigger interest in this. So it's been good. We've had more opportunity to speak on the radio and put in op-eds and get traction with them. So people are starting to sit up and take notice now, which is good.
The issue here, as I said in my intro, is obviously going to get Liberal moderates come across to you for climate change, for socially progressive policy, and so on. Mm-hmm. But to tip the balance, you need particularly Green voters and some Labor voters to vote one for you. Can you take us through what the preferences are and how they've worked or not worked for you?
Sure. So the how to vote cards have been announced by pretty much all of the candidates, and we've recommended that my supporters, we haven't given a recommendation in regards to how we think people should vote, obviously, other than suggesting that they put a one in my box, and also to ignore phrase rounding altogether. And that's a separate discussion and goes without saying, I think. The other voters, Labor, have put Greens second and then me third, and Greens have reciprocated and put second, put the number two there for Labor and then me as number three. The Liberal Party...
That's very disappointing, I'd have to say.
Yeah, look, I think it might have been a national strategy. So it might have been an Australia-wide thing that they couldn't override here. I'm not really sure what the decision was there. But it is disappointing, you know, because we'll get onto the sort of strategy of why it's disappointing perhaps later. But yeah.
To be honest, I'm actually shocked by that, because the importance of a climate change action, moderate Liberal independent winning is crucial for the Senate vote. And I just spoke to Oliver Yates in Kooyong yesterday, and in his seat, the Greens are preferencing him above Labor, and Labor is preferencing him above the Greens. So they've got together and worked out what is the best shot to win. So I have to say I'm hugely disappointed in their decisions locally.
Yes, look, I was very disappointed as well, given my renewable energy credentials, the fact that the Smart Energy Council had endorsed me, as well as three other candidates nationwide. They certainly haven't endorsed anyone from the Greens Party. And so with the importance of climate change being a concern on many voters' minds at this election, it is quite disappointing that that happened. As you mentioned before, we've only got the two Senate seats here in Canberra, and traditionally Labor's had a stronghold here, so they've always easily gotten their quota to get into the Senate. And because of the proportional representation system on the ballot for the Senate, it meant that the Liberal Party would by default pretty much take that second seat. This election's unlike every other, and they probably say that at every election, but this election's quite different in that the Liberal Party both nationally have pretty much self-destructed, and here locally, Zed has a tremendously bad reputation here, not just because of his involvement with the backing of Peter Dutton in the most recent leadership coup, but also for a whole sequence of events that started with his entry into the Senate with the backstabbing of his mentor, the former Senator Gary Humphreys, at the beginning of his time in Senate. And then other issues like trying to restrict territory rights on the issue of euthanasia, and also promising to honour the marriage equality plebiscite, which he then didn't do. So he outright lied about his intentions there.
Let alone going to Warringah to campaign for Tony Abbott.
Yes, most recently, because he hasn't really been seen much here in Canberra lately. He hasn't been at a single Meet the Candidates forum that I've been attending, and his number two Senate ticket has been at a few. Labor, the Greens, but some of the micro parties and the other independents have all been very active on the circuit right now with meeting people and both getting voters to know who they are and then also finding out what's on voters' minds. Zed's been notably absent from any of these. So it was quite surprising to see him take the time off to go up to Sydney to help campaign with Tony Abbott up there.
I'll tell you what made me think that he could be a bit worried about you. There was a piece in the Riot Act, I think, a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. where he said, you're no chance, and that people who didn't like him would be better to vote for the Greens. And I thought, well, if you switch that around, what he's really worried about is you. to recommend a vote for the Greens is pretty transparent, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, it would make no sense for him to say what would be good to get him out. Yeah, it makes no sense at all. So, look, we called them out earlier this week, both in an opportunity to speak to Anna Vito on ABC's Drive program on afternoon radio, and also on Tuesday following that with the Canberra Times. For a few weeks now, we've been hearing from many different polling booths and various Liberal supporters and also members from the Liberal Party that there is a message from the Liberals that either I'm a Labor stooge or a Green stooge.
Yep, of course.
Or being financed by GetUp. And some of the rumours have gotten quite preposterous. The more recent ones we'd heard were that I've been declared bankrupt. Now, I'm not sure if they were thinking that's either here or over in Europe where I used to live. There was another one that we got back by text message, something about me having strange views on polygamy. It was getting quite ridiculous, and I don't even know what that means. It was getting quite ridiculous. We'd written them two letters formally to ask them to basically stop spreading rumours which weren't true, and we categorically denied any involvement with GetUp. And surprisingly, they responded to our letter by basically not denying that they're saying these, but putting the onus on us to prove where our funding had come from.
Which you did.
Well, firstly, we responded by saying, look, it's irrelevant where the funding's coming from. I'm telling you where it's not coming from, and it's not from GetUp. But then when they continue to spread these rumours at polling booths, we contacted the Canberra Times, and I had a few witnesses who prepared testimonies and spoke directly to the journalists there and mentioned what they'd heard was being said at polling booths. Yep. So, one of the things that we've been pushing for, both me and my team here, is for transparency at every level of politics. And one of them is regards to funding of campaigns. Yep. We think there should be real-time transparency in that regard. So more than happy to provide all of the details of my funding, which had showed exactly what I had said all along. And that was that GetUp have nothing to do with my campaign. So we did that and kindly asked them to provide their funding sources as well. And we haven't heard back from them, but quite hypocritical to have been called out based on rumours and false information and then for them to just go quiet when they've been called out for it.
So have you got any, apart from your campaign manager, any former members of the Liberal Party helping you?
Yes, we do. Yeah, there's a very active volunteer working with us called Ian McLeod, who had pretty much resigned from the Liberal Party as a member of the Liberal Party around the time that I'd announced. So he had read the campaign announcement and decided that he liked exactly what I was standing for, and he considers himself a moderate Liberal who just cannot agree with the Liberal stance and inaction on climate change and the policies that Australia really inevitably needs to take to do its part in avoiding unnecessary climate change from happening. And there are a lot of Liberal voters who feel that way about climate change. They don't feel that that's a left-wing issue that belongs necessarily to the Greens or the Labor Party. They see economic merit in Australia going down the sort of clean energy tech route, as well as obviously overwhelming reasons to save the environment. So it really is a win-win situation. It's quite frustrating for many Liberal voters that the Liberals have this stubborn stance about it. But they also feel like they're not really well represented by the Liberal Party anymore.
Yeah.
The party has dragged itself out into a right-wing demographic where it doesn't really belong. I've often said that Corey Bernardi did the right thing by leaving the party to found a separate Conservative Party, and some people might feel like that's the party for them and they'll vote accordingly. But I'd argue that that's a minority of people that would identify with that. And at least by separating himself from the Liberal Party, he's not been doing any damage from within the Liberal Party.
Exactly.
Which is what has been happening with the likes of Zed Shelley here in Canberra, and then Dutton, Abetz, obviously Abbott. And with the polls showing that Labor will probably win this next election, and when they do, it will be with the worst preferred Prime Minister polling in Australian history.
Mm.
One can very easily conclude from that it's not that Bill Shorten's leading the party in the right way, it's just that the Liberal Party have completely self-destructed and paved the way for, you know, what one could call a protest vote. So there's a lot of Liberal Party support or former supporters that are really upset with that have put their hand up and are helping us out with our campaign here. Some a little bit behind the scenes, some very openly.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been quite overwhelmed by the support from former Liberal voters such as myself with what I'm standing for. And I think that it makes a lot of sense here in Canberra, where we are a fairly moderate sort of city.
Indeed.
And so it's, to me at least, no surprise that we're getting that support from the Liberals, but also getting support from people who might have voted for the Greens because of their overarching concern for the environment above all else. And maybe in the past they felt that it was only the Greens really that took a stand on this issue.
Yeah.
Now that I'm very clear about my thoughts on where policy should be going in this field, and with the experience that I've had, it's really giving a lot of voters confidence that there's someone that they can vote for who stands for climate change action, but also has some sensible centre policies that they might not feel the Greens really stand for, or perhaps they're not, happy with other aspects of other policy with the Labor Party, and, certainly not happy with the Liberal Party. So we're getting a lot of support from all sides, really. It's, been quite
incredible. That's great.
Yeah.
So has there been a poll done? Because I saw on Twitter that there was a Green tweet claiming that you had 5% and they had 20%, and I went, whoa, that would be interesting. But I gather there actually hasn't been a poll done.
I did see that tweet. I did engage with it, kindly requesting if they could reference that 5%. And surprisingly, I haven't heard back from
them. Oh, really?
Who would have thought the Greens would make a claim that they can't substantiate? There hasn't been any polling done since I've announced, but there was polling done in August last year, shortly after the leadership coup, and it showed that there was an overwhelming swing against Zed's support.
Yep.
Previously, he had, in the previous two elections, just barely gotten his quota to get in. In 2013, it was done with preferences from the Animal Rights Party, or Animal Justice Party, I always forget the name, who had a falling out with the Greens regarding some issues, and then as a protest to the Greens, gave their preferences to Zed. Previous, in 2016, he also just barely got over the line with preference flows. So this year, the August polling was showing 23-point-something% for Zed, and surprisingly, in January, it showed 22.9 and less.
Yeah.
And the reason I say
that's the danger zone for him, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. And the reason I say surprisingly is because in January, obviously, the nation had a bit more time to get over the emotion of, the most recent leadership coup, when obviously emotions were running high. People were surprised or appalled or, angry or maybe delighted. But, those emotions had settled, and it was surprising that those polls were showing that Zed was in.
Yep.
His support was deteriorating. And so the question in January was asked, would you consider an independent? And I think the polling was showing 11 or 12% at the time. Now, that was before any independents had really put their hand up. So the fact that it was showing a 12% support for an undeclared independent, whoever that might be, was quite encouraging. It showed that there was certainly dissatisfaction with the Liberal Party, but that people weren't really running to the Labor Party for refuge there. And again, I'll, referencing the poll showing Bill Shorten's popularity, we can see that at a national level as well.
Yeah.
And so nationwide, it's no surprise this has manifested in a whole bunch of independents that have put their hand up people who aren't fringe issue, you know, single issue independents like they may have been in the past on issues like anti-immigration or justice reform in the case of Darren Hinch. These people that are putting their hand up now are very centre-focused people with a broad understanding of many policies, and I don't think it's surprising that most of us are on the same page with the important issues like a National Integrity Commission regarding issues like the water buyback, like climate change, where most of us think that there's a very clear path that Australia should be taking in regards to energy policy. So it's been quite, I think it's been quite encouraging for voters to see that there's a whole bunch of sensible people who are willing to put their hand up, people who are from various careers and walks of life who are coming with a lot of experience and willing to now contribute to the public service with what they know and their experiences. I think it's quite encouraging, and I think that as that message gets out, voters seem to be reacting more and more positively to it.
Yeah, well, the way I see the Independence Day movement, and you're one of the people in the video on that, is that it is giving true liberals, moderate liberals, a real choice, because obviously they don't want to go to the left, but they want to have a candidate that represents their views, and they're just not being represented in the current Liberal Party. It's pretty simple.
And here in Canberra, we've got this funny situation now that there are seven groups on the Senate ballot: Liberal, Labor, Greens, myself, and then after that we've got United Party, which I think if there's one place in Australia where they're not really going to do well, that would be here. Fraser Anning has put together a nationwide party, and I'll be surprised if he gets the 19 votes here in Canberra that he got as number two back in the day when he got into the Senate in the first place. And then there's Sustainable Australia, which really don't have much of a profile or support base here in Canberra. There are three unendorsed Senate candidates as well, which, being below the line and running with a very low budget and very low profile, they might get fractions of a percent each. But it's widely deemed that Labor will safely get their quota. Katie Gallagher will get in. And then the question is, what happens with our second seat on the ballot? Now, by process of elimination, weakest party start getting knocked off, and then their vote preferences start getting accounted for, with Fraser Anning's party most likely to be knocked off first, I'd say, followed by Sustainable Australia and then United Party, who had a member here running for the lower house, which is, you know, brought shame on the whole party with, you know, some silly comments that he made on social media. Once those three parties go off, I'd imagine any votes that those three would have gotten would have been cannibalised for the Liberal Party in the first place. So perhaps those votes would go back to the Liberal Party. But then the question is, who drops off next? And it will be a situation where there'll be the Greens, myself and the Liberal Party contesting that second seat. None of us will have a full quota. I'd imagine that the Liberal Party would be ahead of either of us on primary votes. But if the Greens were to drop off first, if they have less votes than I do, I think it would be safe to assume that most Green voters, if not all Green voters, would certainly preference me higher than the Liberal Party, given Zed's appalling track record on climate change legislation. And so I should safely, therefore, get through. The problem will be is if I have fewer votes than the Greens, I'd imagine, given that there's a lot of upset Liberal voters voting for me, on the preference play, they might, however, still preference the Liberal Party above Labor or the Greens. And so strategically, it's quite clear that what really needs to be happening here is the Greens stepping aside to make sure that that scenario doesn't come about. They probably feel that they have a shot here because in 2013, they had a Greens Senate candidate called Simon Sheik who did very well, ran a very strong campaign and almost got in. But the situation is vastly different now. In 2013, parties were still allowed to allocate their preference flows behind closed doors. And so this year, the Labor Party cannot give all of the excess votes that they'll get to the Greens, even if they wanted to. It's only up to the voters now to do that. The other big change from 2019 to 2013 is that now independents are being considered quite seriously by voters Australia-wide. And so there's really no chance that in a two-seat Senate situation like here in the ACT, that at least two-thirds of voters would choose a left and then a far-left party. There are, after all, many right-of-centre voters here which don't really feel comfortable with voting for either of those, and they really can't be ignored. And so in absence of any other legitimate right of centre alternative that, you know, that I'd argue Fraser Anning, Sustainable Australia and United Party aren't really legitimate, it really comes down to me or the Greens.
So correct me if I'm wrong. What strategic voters in Canberra need to do is if they're voting Labor, they need to preference you too. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And if they're Greens voters, they need to preference you one.
Yes, yeah. And I'd go as far as even suggesting that Labor voters would even consider putting one for me with Labor two. And the reason there is because A, Labor will safely get their full quota anyway.
Yeah.
B, their vote doesn't get jeopardised in case I don't get in. So if I weren't to get in, their vote will safely go back into Labor's hands anyway.
Exactly.
So strategically, Labor voters should also consider putting a one on me and a two for Labor. But even a one for Labor and a two for me is also helpful.
Yeah. So, Anthony, speaking to Oliver Yates, he's actually going to do a direct mail drop to every voter in Kooyong, advising them how to vote strategically to maximise the chance of Josh losing his seat. So do you have the funds to do a similar letterbox drop?
We do. I'm sitting at a table full of how to vote cards as we speak that we just had printed. And on those how to vote cards, as I mentioned before, what we did was obviously suggesting that voters put a one in my box. However, we haven't actually given any sort of advice as to how they should vote thereafter. We hadn't really, at the point of printing these, thought too much about the strategic message of how Greens or Labor voters should vote with the goal to removing Zed. So, you know, we wanted to keep it pretty clean campaign in regards to what I'm presenting and what I'm standing for, without really focusing too much on sort of negative aspects of, rubbishing other people. So.
Oh, no, but you're not rubbishing the Greens or Labor. You're just advising voters how to ensure that Zed gets knocked off. Like, I'd suggest, putting an easy explanation as an ad in the Canberra Times. And if you've got the money, I think Oliver's idea is pretty worthwhile considering.
Yeah, we'll look into that. We are at the moment talking to the Canberra Times of putting an ad in, so we haven't finalised that ad. So that could very well be a message that makes sense to put out there.
And also, I'd suggest a video. Sorry. Okay. I'm pretending I'm your campaign manager here. My apologies.
No, it's all good advice. And there still is time. I think that in this last week, voters are going to be really focusing on what's being offered by all the parties and all the candidates and really tuning into messages. I think that there's a lot of people who are apathetic toward politics. But obviously, as that sort of election date looms and gets closer, even the most disinterested people do get sort of caught up in the whole discussion and start thinking about who they're going to vote for.
I mean, to my mind, Canberra's got a very special opportunity to get rid of a hard right senator who does not represent them and to make a big statement that they would like, besides Labor, they would like a smaller Liberal candidate who wants strong action on climate change.
Yeah, look, I think that's been the biggest challenge from day one is just to let people know that AI exists. So I've come to this without a public profile. Unlike Karen Phillips or Zali Steggall, or Oliver Yates, who was the head of the Clean Energy Finance Corp. And so that's been the challenge from day one, is just to make up for that lack of public profile, let people know who I am, and then secondly, let them know what I'm standing for as well. It's no small task, being an independent, running for any seat, but here in Canberra, running for Senate effectively is kind of like running for three lower house seats. We've been covering the ground everywhere, right from north to south, covering all three electorates at polling booths and shopping centres, mail outs. It's a huge task for anybody, but certainly for an independent.
Yeah. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Do you have enough volunteers for the pre-polls and for election day, or would you like more? And if you'd like more, how do people contact you?
Oh, look, you could always have more. We have had it's always been encouraging when people put their hand up. Just today when I walked into the office, I had a lovely note in an envelope with a check to contribute to the campaign and a handwritten note offering to help from someone who I'd never met before. And that's hugely encouraging when I get these sorts of messages. And they do come in pretty much on a daily basis, but with 85 polling booths, again, you know, we've got to cover the whole territory here, being a Senate ticket. It's an enormous task to get every single one of them covered by volunteers. So we've got a website with a volunteer section where people can register their names. They can also donate to the campaign as well. But to have as many people as possible on polling days is tremendously helpful, and we could certainly do with more.
So what's your website address?
It's Anthony Pesek. That's Anthony with a thonypesec.com.au.
Thank you very much, Anthony. And anything I can do to help, let me know. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Margo. Always good to talk to you.
Bye.